I was 16 years old in 1973. I know I look much younger. When a friend and I were leaving the First Baptist Church of Red Springs, the church then was right in the heart of that metropolis that I grew up in, Red Springs. Very small town, and the church was right here, across the street with the police station, the fire department, and then you're right down on the main street. The church has since moved. It was a rather cool November night. A friend and I went to church, but left the church. We smelled something burning. Not even a half a block down the road was the Hallick Myers Furniture Store, which was about the tallest building in our town, probably three stories, I think. Beside the Hallick Myers grocery store was the newly opened Walton Supermarket. As we approached those two buildings, we saw fire racing through the downstairs part of the Hallick Myers Furniture Store. The fire station literally just down the street, we called them, told them about the fire, but that night, on the corner of Main Street and 4th Avenue in Red Springs, was destroyed by fire. And today, there's a city park on that property. On Tuesday, December the 19th, 2017, a massive fire destroyed most of plant number one, Lexington plant, Home Brands number one. Many of you witnessed or saw the flames of that historic fire. Today, the area has been cleared for what is being called the Depot District. Then, town manager Alan Carson said, and I quote, "It was one of the largest fires we'd seen in Lexington." He said that he hopes the disaster can eventually be returned into something positive. "This isn't the action we were looking for," Carson said, "but we hope with everything else it turns out well for us. Out of the ashes, we'll develop something for it. It's an opportunity for us, so we'll see what we can do with it." End of quote. Fire. Good, bad. We've all witnessed at some point the destruction of fire and all the suffering and heartache that can come from fire. Protection of life and property is always the top priority during any fire. However, as I'm sure you know, wildfires, especially in the wilderness, at national parks, have played a very important ecological role in forest development for thousands and thousands of years. A natural cycle is developed through woods growth and replenishment that comes from the wildfire, like the clearing of dead trees and leaves, competing vegetation from the forest floor so those new plants can grow, as well as the removing of weak or disease-ridden trees, leaving more space and nutrients for stronger trees, letting more sunlight come in so trees stay healthier, and improving wildlife habitat. Sometimes we witness a structural fire, like the furniture plant, the furniture store, the grocery store. Something good can come from it. They've already started having the wildfires in California, and we witness destruction and the bad things that can come from fire. If you don't have anything to do this afternoon, it's recorded in the King James Version that the word fire is mentioned 510 times. Feel free to go home and count it. Often used symbolically rather than the normal use of fire, burning, and combustion. But think about it. Fire is never static. It moves. What does it do? It seeks to consume. It always, good or bad, produces change. Fire also requires one to act and to respond. Fire brings focus. Red is the color of Pentecost for the church. And fire is a wonderful work of the power of the Holy Spirit, for we cannot grasp often what the Spirit means or understand. It might be the throwing of confetti into the air, raining down upon us. The Spirit is often like fire in at least three ways. It brings to us God's presence, God's passion, and the purity of Almighty God. Today, for the Christian church, this is our beginning, our birthday. We wear the color red, symbolizing joy and fire of the Holy Spirit, symbolizing that renewal of the church, the coming of the warmth of Christ, and the growth of the church on that first Pentecost that we hear about in the Acts of the Apostles. But more important than the signs of the Spirit or its movement on that day was the effects that it had on those and the church then and there. And what may be important and necessary for us today is the fact that after the wind and the fire and the tongues of the Spirit empowered them, it also united them. What happened next, as you read the rest of Acts, was a fellowship of worship, preaching and teaching, sharing and joy, for the Spirit of God had descended upon them, and they were the church. Dr. Luke in Acts says, they were all together in one place. They were there wondering. They were there debating, contemplating what they were going to do without Jesus, who had been with them, and they had witnessed his crucifixion, his resurrection. He had appeared to them, but he was gone, and now what were they to do? It is obvious from the account in Acts that something happened that day and occurred that was not of the ordinary. The description we have is very graphic. First, there was a sound like a mighty wind, and the room was filled with some sort of power. Next came tongues of fire. I'm not sure how to interpret tongues of fire. I've sat with family members and friends that I thought they talked so much they were on fire. But when those tongues of fire came, they were resting out and reaching out to each person there, and they were not being burned or consumed by these flames, for the people were filled with what we call the Holy Spirit, the very image of God. God in three persons. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. So as the story of Acts unfolds, the church becomes both the witness and bearers of God's Spirit. The way Luke tells of this celebration, we are left with no doubt that this is an inaugural event. This is a beginning, an audible event, a visible event. For there was speaking in tongues, and there was the wind and the fire. If we go back to the Old Testament and the prophet Joel. Joel came witnessing in his native land at a time when the whole area was infested with locusts. They were everywhere, and the people could not do anything and did not know how they would even move on without some intervention. Joel's prophecy for the people was to repent. Turn from your ways, and he assured them that God would restore their land, and they would prophesy. Peter quotes Joel and interprets the event of Pentecost as fulfilling Joel's prophecy of the coming of the salvation of the Lord when he writes again these words, "In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. These are revolutionary words. These are words from a prophet. These are the words of the Spirit of God coming upon a people in ways that they never could understand or dream, and maybe in ways we too cannot understand. In Joel's day, from these words, the people knew, one, that God's Spirit would be poured out on not a select few, but all flesh, all humankind, Jew and Gentile alike. That was foreign to them. Second, a variety of persons would become spokespersons of the Spirit, male and female, and that was foreign to them as well. And thirdly, a host of signs would come with a new beginning. The day of Pentecost for the church became the day that the church became more visible and more audible. It moved from silence to language. It talked, and the whole world heard the good news in its own language. For God so loved the church, He gave us something that we could not contain, and we cannot contain it today. Eugene Rogers writes, Pentecost points us to a new order in the Spirit, a reordering of our priorities. It reminds us of the unmerited gift of God resting on all of flesh, like fire that does not destroy but builds, creates, and invites us to a common hospitality. The Spirit becomes the uniting force of all people. On that day, the church grew into thousands. Those who were shy became bold. Those who were scared, were looking for a sense of direction, were found. Even those disciples who had been told to and shown how to minister and followed Christ were now just discovering their abilities within themselves that they never knew they had, and they were ready now to go forth. Jesus sends the Spirit, telling us the Spirit will not stop working, will not stop drawing us each and every one into that divine whirlwind of God's amazing grace. As long as there are those who stay open to the Spirit, like in the church in Acts, those that Joel prophesied to, as long as there are those who stay open to the Spirit, the history of the Spirit will remain unfinished. So maybe the question for us on this birthday of the church, do we still believe in the transforming power of God in our lives, in our church, in the church? It's our birth story. It's the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ that you and I have chosen to be a part of and live out our lives. It's the beginning of our religious heritage, when a bunch of confusing signs of tongues and fire and wind. And if you keep reading in Acts, there was an argument that followed about whether it was the work of the Spirit or whether those people there were inebriated and talking out of their heads. The Spirit was confusing then. The Spirit is confusing now, but the Spirit is there for us. Make no mistake about it. The Spirit of God was and is alive and well. Maybe another question for us, each of us and the church, is how do we know when or if the Spirit is leading us? And as you well know, that is a constant search in our life to follow Christ. As you well know, a burning fire can rage with great intensity, can often be uncontrollable and unpredictable. Luke in Acts uses the image of fire to describe the powerful and different events that were happening 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And that becomes for us, as it did then, the birth story of the church. Those confusing signs of wind and fire and strange interpretation of tongues. Understanding and figuring out how the Spirit leaves and moves among us is never a simple task. But it is what we are called as followers of Christ. It was not on the day of Pentecost when the church was given birth as it is today, but just like the image of fire, good and bad, needed and not needed, we must approach fire with caution. We must heed the flames of the Spirit as it blows in our lives, but we must open ourselves up to the gift of the Spirit. Frederick Buechner, who you've heard Ray and I quote on many times, writes about fire, and I quote, "Fire has no shape or substance. You can't taste it or smell it or hear it. You can't touch it except at great risk. You can't weigh it or measure it or examine it with instruments. You can never grasp its fullness because it never stands still. Yet there is no mistaking its extraordinary power." And he goes on to reference, like that pillar of fire, which was there to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness, that burning bush that spoke to Moses. And there were tongues of fire at Pentecost upon those disciples. And Buechner says, in the pages of Scripture, fire is holiness. And with Pentecost and with Red and Birthday, we want to be holy people called of God and be His holy church. We too want to be set on fire. Our understanding and our discernment of the Spirit in our personal lives and in the life of the church happens only when we choose to stay engaged. When we choose to poke the fire, if you will. When we choose to stand near it as it gets warmer and even hotter. When we are engaged, the power of the Spirit comes upon us. Not sitting on the sidelines, but being involved in the life of one another. You and I are here because God says that we are God's instruments for what He wants to do in the world. In Joel's day, in Luke's day, in our day. Pentecost and the wind and the fire are to us a reminder to whose church this is. This is not Tommy's church or your church or the First Baptist Church. This is God's church. This is God's Spirit. The great preacher Fred Craddock writes in his Wisdom, asking the church this question. Are you in a place? Have you arrived? Are you beginning to sense the need for power? At every step of the way, in the early church, prejudices were strong. Tensions were deep. Arguments often heated. The first church conference held was to discuss the whole issues of these events. Craddock asked, are we going to continue to bring into the church all these different kinds of people and regard them as equals? Back then, seeming immovable stood those ancient walls of laws and customs and dress and food and social and economic structures. But you shall receive power was the promise of God. And as we read the book of Acts, The church has moved all the way from Jerusalem to Rome. All the barriers that were there then were still there. Rich and poor, black and white, male and female, young and old, labor and management, the barriers still existed. Do they today? But so is the promise. The promise is still there. You shall receive power. The promise lies there, often unclaimed, for we are scared of the fire. But it's still available for those who receive it. Are we willing and able? Today, on this Pentecost Sunday, we must recognize that we are given a gift. And after receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, we, as individuals in the church, must let the winds and the fire go through us and His church, so that a word of good news and hope that is unlike any other gift will touch us and change us. The Spirit then and now speaks to us through one another. It is relational. And if we are going to figure out our future as a church, we have to keep listening to one another. We have to keep trusting that in our collective seeking, God is going to guide us with the Spirit of the wind and the fire. It may be confusing. It may be messy. We may even get burned by the fire. But that is how it works. It worked then in the church of Jesus Christ, and it works today. So, church, our hope and our prayer on this birthday of the church is that the fire will continue. And yes, we might even get burned. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our response to the gospel of Christ and to His Spirit is found in hymn number 301, Fire of God, Undying Flame. Our hope and our prayer always is that the flames of God and Christ through the Holy Spirit will continue to burn, and that we as a church will respond.